On today's parsha, which is Nitzavim, Nitzavim means we stand. Today we stand, Nitzavim. At the conclusion of Deuteronomy 29, verse 28, it has the following. Hear this verse, this awesome little verse. The secret things belong to Adonai, but the things revealed belongs to us and to our children forever. The things revealed belong to us and to our children forever. And then it has a dash, which can be translated, in order that, in order to do all the words of this Torah. So the Lord has revealed some things. They're being revealed even as they stand there. There's a tremendous amount of new information that appears for the first time in this Moses' last message. And those things that are revealed, okay, have a purpose. Not just to say, oh, well, I got it. You know, I know more than you do, kind of thing. No, the things that are revealed, okay, belong to us. So we own them. But in also to our children. So it's to the family. But it has a purpose. Those things that are revealed is so that we can do, notice the word do, not aseh, so we can not aseh all the words, hadevarim, which he read a couple of times, hadevarim, hatorah, were part of her reading. So here it goes. 1238, okay? In last week's message, I shared, near the end, I shared that last week, I said, today, we're in a position to ask Adonai for a heart to know him intimately, for eyes to see him for who he really is, and ears to Shema. That's how I ended the message. And I led us in asking. So I trust that you ask with me, okay? That we ask the Lord to give us that kind of heart. This week's parashat is Nitzavim, from 29:9 to 30:20, which literally means you're standing. Atem Nitzavim means you are standing. Atem means y'all. And Nitzavim is a unique kind of word. It's a very unique, it's not really a verb, but it's a verb that has gotten extra meaning. You're standing. The King James Version says, all of you stand today before the Lord your God, which is nice also. You see, the thing that about this parashat is that Moses' life journey is over. It's over. They got to the promised land. He can't go in, so Israel's going to go in, and he's done. History for him. Okay? So because his journey is over, I think that the last words and testimony, the large words and testament of Moses are particularly significant. They are to me as a leader. The Apostle Paul also spoke about this. You remember the message? Here's what he said. For I am already being poured out like a drink offering, and the time of my departure has come, Paul said. I have fought the good fight. I have finished the course. I have kept the faith. In the future, there is reserved for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will award to me on that day. But not only to me, not to me only, but also to everyone who has longed for his appearing. So we all are going to have this award us a crown of righteousness, according to the Apostle Paul. Moses is at a point where he knows that it's time for him to receive that crown. But it won't be with the children of Israel. It'll be with the Lord. Moses is ready to deliver, therefore, his last message on the earth. And our people, but you know, I've spoken about this in the past. Moses said in Parashat Nitzavim that this words today are not just for you who are standing here today, but are also with you that are not standing here today. What does Moses mean? Well, he understood by the Lord, by the Holy One, that the DNA of the children of Israel will continue. And that DNA has come to us. We have been grafted in. And now we have taken on the DNA of the children of Israel because we're grafted in. So the Bible says that it was not only for those that were present, for those that are not present but will be present in the future, which means us, that we will also be standing in front of him and will also be in front of the Jordan River and will also want to listen to what he had to say. My question becomes, and I ask this all the time, if you've heard me speak on this in the last 30 years, what super valuable morsel is Moses going to speak? This is the end. So what is he going to say that he hasn't said before? Of everything that he said, of everything that he's done, of the entire 40 years, okay, from the time that he was told after the burning bush to go to Pharaoh, it's been 40 years. He's got a lot of education, don't you think? He's heard a lot of things from the Lord. What is he going to say here at the end that hasn't been said before? Or if you like, for all the things that the Lord said, what's the most important that you need to have just before I leave? Do you agree with me that Moses' last message has to be really important? What did he say? Here's the deal. Whatever he said, that becomes things revealed to us. Look what I'm saying. Whatever he said, that becomes things revealed that belongs to us and to our children. That's what the scripture said there. Okay, so this is, we need to find whatever revelation the Lord gives in these little bit, it's important because it becomes something revealed. Why do I want that? Because I want that because I now have a ready for intimacy with him heart. Okay? That's a big hyphenated word. I have a ready for intimacy with him heart because we asked for it last week. And we're not asking somebody who not going to give it to us. We're asking, and we know that he gave it to us. And if you ask last week, you have a different heart. It may not be allowed to fully expand, but you have a different heart. But the heart wasn't not just so that we can have a big heart, or that we can be awesome, or we can know lots of things, because the scripture says, in order to do all the words of this Torah. In other words, for us to accomplish the goal. And what's the goal? The accomplishment of the goal is to do all the words of the Torah, which is what Deuteronomy 29:28 said. Do you know that the last message from Moses is not very long? It's 20 verses in chapter 29, and guess what? 20 verses in chapter 30. 40 verses. That's it. Okay? As I read Moses' words so that I could get them deep into my spirit, there were some things that jumped out of the page. And I thought that I would make the message out of those things that jumped out of the page. I don't know if you've seen commercials where now they have a commercial that something jumps out of the of a drawing, and it becomes little squares, and these little squares morph into all kinds of things, and at the conclusion is about a company named NTT, which is about technology, new technology type company. Well, it's the same idea. What jumped out first? The first thing that jumped out was a warning towards stubbornness. A warning towards stubbornness. What does stubbornness mean? Stubbornness in our heart. You know what that's called? Lip service. Stubbornness of heart is lip service. So there's a warning right here about that we don't need to become lip service people towards Adonai. Let's read Deuteronomy 29, verse 18. Now when someone hears the words of this oath, remember he said to cross Nitzavim, to cross into his, the verse 3, we're going to cross into his oath and into his berit. When you hear the words of this oath, and in his heart considers himself blessed, thinking, shalom will be mine. I've been handed shalom from above. But if I walk in stubbornness of my heart, even though I have received the shalom and I continue to walk in stubbornness of my heart, thus sweeping away the moist with the dry, that's the words of the Bible, Adonai will be, look what it says, unwilling to forgive him. Adonai will be unwilling to forgive him. For then the anger of Adonai and his jealousy will smoke against that person. I didn't say that he did. So let me make a warning here. We received a special heart last week. And maybe you have been progressing towards these high holy days and having a pure heart before the Lord. Watch out for stubbornness. And if it comes, you need to get rid of it very quickly. Stubbornness of heart has an accompanying sister. It's called hypocrisy. Stubbornness of heart has a pride, and it manifests itself in hypocrisy, which will result in, quote, his jealousy will smoke against that person. What is the penalty against hypocrisy? Well, it doesn't matter what it is. It's always been severe. Okay? Hypocrisy has always had a severe penalty in God's system. Let me challenge you by saying it is time to make up our minds and decide if we're all in or all out when it comes to the Lord. I'm not talking about the congregation, so don't start jumping up and down if you're visiting. Relax, you got MasterCard. I'm not talking about a congregation. I'm talking about him. You have to decide, are you all in with Adonai or are you not all in with Adonai? It's either all in or all out, okay? There's no in between. There's no lukewarmness. That jumped out of the page to me. I have heard people say that Adonai's Torah is too hard. That all the stuff in the Hebrew scriptures, what's called the Old Testament, is too hard. I have a perfect example for you. My lifelong partner at UF in the Machine Intelligence Lab is a Jewish man named Dr. Eric Schwartz. Dr. Eric Schwartz became a believer. And here's what he used to say. I'm going to quote him. I like this Christianity thing a lot. When he came from Judaism to Christianity. Then he said, Jesus' words are nicer than the requirements of the God of my Jewish forefathers. This is a fully Jewish man. I know what he's referring to. What he meant was that the words and the ways of the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob to him seem harsh compared to the Jesus of Christianity. Now, I want to tell you that he's not alone in that assessment. He's not alone. He was never alone in that assessment. Because the assessment that Adonai's ways in his Torah are harder is much of the Christianity has that same opinion. Much of it, like a lot of Christianity has that. They look at you like, if they have the chutzpah, they'll ask you, why? First thing they want to know is why. We don't have to do any of that. Jesus did it all. And he did away with it. So we don't have to do any of it. So what do you have to do? Nothing. You just have the card in your pocket. And, you know, the card is going to get you into heaven. And nobody can revoke the card from you. You have the stamp of a Christian. And therefore, no one can remove that from you except you. And how are you going to get close to the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob? Now, look, remember what we read earlier in the service today? Yeshua, this is part of today's reading, the New Testament reading for today. Part of the New Testament reading for today, which we read, Marilyn led us in this reading. Yeshua said, okay, that I have come, what is your problem, basically? Let me just paraphrase. What's your problem out there? You don't want to believe me. But if you see me, you see the Father. I have come to speak his word. I have come to make him known. Everything that I do because my Father told me. So why do you want to throw the Father away? If you throw the Father away, who are you praying to? Our Father which art in heaven. We're not praying to Yeshua. Yeshua did not teach us to pray to Yeshua. Come on now, Rabbi. Yeshua did not teach us to pray to Yeshua. He taught us to pray to the Father. So whatever the Father has said, whatever the Father has decided, it's holy. Let me just say, it's holy. It was so holy to him that the Father's desires put him on the cross and he was happy about it. How dare you? How dare you want to throw out the Father's words? Now, before you think that I'm really mad at everybody else, I'm really kind of angry at the leaders. Because often in congregations in Christianity, there will be some Bereans. That word sounds like they're screaming and hollering like, wah, wah, people. There's a place called Berea in, you know. What did these people do? They checked things out. Paul thought they were awesome people. Well, there are awesome people like that in every denomination, in every church. They go read things. And they will, sometimes the Holy Spirit will say, what do you think? And they'll go, wow, I never saw that. Why aren't we doing that? So they might make a pilgrimage to the pastor's office and come in and say, if the Bible said we should be keeping Shabbat, why aren't we meeting on Sunday? Of course, I pick on the one that it's, you know what the answer is. The answer is, typically, the denomination doesn't go for that. I'll give you another one. The Bible says that we are all going to have a language, a prayer language, and we're going to be able to worship Adonai in a prayer language. How come we don't have a prayer language? Now, if it's the Baptists or some of those, they say, now, brother, that died with the apostles. That's over there. Oh, really? So then if you go think about it hard, you go home and say, what else died with them? What else died with them? Hello. Hey, I am speaking as a former pastor, Church of God pastor, okay? I'm speaking to you as a Pentecostal Church of God pastor that I was. So I'm not speaking, you know, out of nowhere. Just if I say something about Puerto Ricans, don't get upset if you're Puerto Rican, because I'm Puerto Rican. And I usually just say to the other Puerto Ricans here, like Helen, are you okay with that? She goes, oh, yeah. Let's have it. Okay, so anyway, I'm speaking from who I am. I can say something about faculty members at the University of Florida because I was one for 40 years. So let me just say to you, I say, how many times did people come in? And I remember in one occasion taking the question all the way to the chief bishop of the church. Now, brother, I don't need to say no more. Now, brother, well, he did say it was okay if I did it. And then they put me on top, you know, in charge of all the Mexico churches and everything else. So then I was doing it. And when they came to visit one time, they said, brother, why are you doing that? Why are you wearing a tallit? Why are you wearing a kippah? And so I said, I'm following what you said. You said that I could do it. But you're in charge here. Yeah, I'm in charge, so I can do it. We won't do it if you say no. But as soon as you leave, we're going to do it. And, you know, to which that particular leader was a little bit ruffled, just a tiny bit ruffled with me. As it turns out, I have never been part of the choir. I've not been one of those ever, in not anything that I've ever done. And I've stood for what I believed on, if it cost me whatever it cost me. And I figure, okay, well, that's probably the last time that I will be leading a high holiday service in Mexico. No, when I got back, he said, I need you to take care of tabernacles this year and possibly beyond. So when I went back, I didn't think two things about it. I wore my kippah and I wore my tallit and I preached the gospel. And I look like a Jewish guy. Oh, well. The Bible says, oh, there's another one that jumped out. Deuteronomy 30, verse 14. Are you ready? No. The word is very near you. It is in your mouth and in your heart. To do it. Now I say, what's the context? The context is the flawed appraisal that the church has, and many people have, that somehow stuff about the Father is irrelevant. Let me read you what Moses said. This is really important. At the last, this is what he gives. Verse 11, just after she finished reading. Okay? Verse 11 of chapter 30. For this mitzvah that I am commanding you today is not too difficult for you. Nor is it far off. It is not in the heavens that you should say, now who will go up to the heavens and get it for us to have us here? The word there is lishmoa, shema. So get this now. Who's going to go to the heavens and get it for us so that we can shema? So we may do it. Nor is it across the sea that you should say, who will cross over to the other side of the sea and get us for us and have us lishmoa, hear, shema, so that we may do it? Na'aseh. Are you hearing the same words over? Na'aseh v'nishma. Are you hearing it over and over? Shema and Naaseh together. No, no, Paul. No, Moses said, no, 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 no. The word is very near you. It's not in the heavens and it's not across the street. It's in your mouth and in your heart so that you can do it. Okay. Now, you want to follow Moses or you want to follow Pastor X or Pastor Y or Rabbi Q or Rabbi CQ or, you know, or Minister H, let me not, make sure that I don't use anybody's initial. Minister Noon Samick. Okay? Is that what we're going to do? Find somebody that can tickle our ears and go, well, I don't have to obey what he said because so-and-so said, I don't have to. That's not going to get you very far. You're going to show up before the King of Kings and Lord of Lords, and he's going to say, give an account of what you didn't do. And you go, what do you mean what I didn't do? Well, how many High Holy Day services did you attend? You're a male? You missed 3 a year since you got saved. Oh, don't mess with me now. I'm going to mess with you. Okay? So you're going to stand there and say, oh, well, I did. No, John said. So it was always somebody named John. So Pastor John said, that's not my John. Pastor John said, we didn't have to do it. So ask him. And he's just going to look at you and say, I am not asking him. I'm asking you. I'm not judging him. I'm judging you. Why didn't you? Didn't you see it? Yeah, but Sam said, no, not Sam. Okay. Jacoby said, I didn't have to do it. Jacoby. That's not, Jacoby's over there. There's some, let me pick up some other name. Simeon. Well, no, that's Shimon. But you know, so what? I should say David. Then nobody knows who it is, because there are 3 of them here. No, they said I didn't have to do it, and you said, "Oh, this is called the ears that want to hear the exemption." I don't have to. You know what you do to the Lord when you say in your heart, Pastor Chevrolet said I didn't have to do it. And the Lord's going, who died for you, Chevrolet or me? Come on now. Who died for you? Who did the whole universe? Did Chevrolet do it? Give me a break. But yet we don't think that way. We take God's word and go and ask people stuff. Can I do this? Can I do that? And if they go in and say, oh yeah, you can do this. If they say you have to do something, you get a little excited. And now you go back to the Bible and say, well, the Bible doesn't say I have to do it. We're ready for the Bible saying we don't have to do it. We're just really hard on the Bible saying we have to do it. The Bible was really clear. All males. Don't be confused. All biological males must appear before Adonai 3 times a year. If you don't, at the festival of Passover, at the festival of Shavuot, Pentecost, or at the festival of Tabernacles, Sukkot, who are you going to blame? Where my wife didn't want to go. Well, the Lord already saw that. And he didn't say anything to the wives. They can just stay home and talk all they want to, complain all they want to. You've got to go. Okay? If you're a male, you got it. Did you get it? Did you get it? You better, I hope you got it. The order is important. Look at the order here. The order, the Bible, the Torah says, in our mouth and in our heart to do it. Why is that? I thought out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. That's when it's right. But when we are just coming into something, we have to say it so that then we can get it in. You have to say, I receive Yeshua as my personal Savior. You have to say it. You have to say it with your mouth. With the mouth, confession is made unto salvation. Look, the Bible is very clear about that. It goes from the mouth to the heart. Isn't it? So, do we have to, I'm a male, so do I have to show up on Sukkot? Brother, where is that? Well, it's all over the Old Testament. That's right. It's old, isn't it? You don't have to do it. Jesus did it for you. Then you go, what about Zechariah 14? Now you just got in the thorn side of that leader that you're speaking to. What do you mean, Zechariah 14? Yes, it says that all of us left must go and see the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords at the Festival of Tabernacles. And if they don't go, it's not going to rain and all that. And you go, God, that person's going to get it. And they look at you and say, yeah, that's when he comes back. That's always the answer, huh? When he comes back, he's going to tell us everything. When he comes back, he's going to give us the rules. When he comes back, he's going to just sit down and do it all. And we're going to do it because we love him and all that. Let me tell you something. If you're not doing it right now because you love him, how much do you think he's going to think you're loving him after he returns? Give me a break. Break the thing. Give me a break. I've heard it all, my friends. I'm not speaking to everybody out there. I'm speaking to you. I'm speaking to you. And these next 22 days, all of you males better show up during the Festival of Tabernacles. I didn't say that he did. Well, can the wife stay away? Well, technically, they can stay away. In reality, when the male went to something in Israel, everybody went. You know what I mean? When the guy did something, everybody did it. That's the way it used to be. Some of you remember your grandparents being that way. Okay? When dad said, let's eat, that's when we eat. Can we eat when mom says? Can we sit down on the table and start eating? Well, in some places, I've been in parts of this country. I was in Louisiana, in the center of Louisiana, in 1965. And I went to a farm somewhere. I don't even know where it was. Somewhere in the center of Louisiana. I was so far from Puerto Rico, you wouldn't believe it. And, you know, they put something on the table. And I said, what is it? Tea. I said, tea? What is that? But I saw this piece of cake. I said, well, that's got to be good. And I started to go and get that. And my friend said, oh, listen, Arroyo, nobody eats until dad sits down. When dad sits down, that's when we eat. When dad says we're going to the county fair, we're going to the county fair. You can go any other time, but when dad says, we're going. You know what I mean? I don't know. Maybe that's forgotten. I don't know. Maybe all of you are transplants from some other country. When You know what the words are that go to the mouth before they go in the heart? It's only four letters. I'm messing with you. You know, it's only four letters. I wrote it right here. Done! This is what we say to the Lord. Done! Even before we do it. Done! That's the attitude. That done attitude is going to go in the heart, and we're going to do it because we're saying done. Look, Siri said done, and we are hoping that she actually did it at the same time. Or maybe after she got it and checked that it was sent and all those things. Actually, that's not the case. Siri says done, and behind the scenes, it's getting done. But she said done. That's what we ought to be. So notice the Bible says in your mouth first. Next thing, we always have a free choice as free moral agents. So don't be distracted in this matter. You quoted it, TJ. See, I have set before you today life and good, death and evil. What I am commanding you today is to love Adonai your God. Ooh, this part, what you're in. Walk in his ways and keep his mitzvot and ordinances and statutes forever. So let me just say the following. It's always a matter of abundant life. It's abundant life and good, or is death and evil? They're not in between choices. There are two doors. Door number one is life and good. Door number two is good and evil. Well, I want a third door. There's no third door. You have to choose one or the other. That's what you'll be judged on. Did you choose the right door? There is no gray and there is no lukewarmness. Can I say that again? There is no lukewarmness. Let me tell you what it's supposed to be for us. Sam quoted this to me 2 weeks ago. Keep the pedal to the metal. It's a Stephen saying. What do you mean by pedal to the metal? Pedal to the metal. What does that mean, Stephen? Full throttle. Why is it called pedal to the metal? Because in the old days there was a pedal that you hit to accelerate. There's still an accelerating pedal. You hit it, but it doesn't obey nothing. You hit it and actually sends a signal to some computer that says he wants to go fast. And then it does it. And that delay drives my daughter bonkers. Doesn't she? She gets totally discombobulated. This stupid car of yours, Dad, doesn't obey. Okay, etc. So what are Moses' last words? Are you ready? Verse 19. 30:19 before 30:20. So it's 30:19 and 20. It's the last thing of that message. I call the heavens and the earth to witness about you today that I have set before you life and death, the blessing and the curse. Therefore, good medicine, choose life, so that you and your descendants may live. This is the last thing Moses had to say. Look, there's plenty of witnesses that say you actually knew better. I am telling you right now to choose life and not death. Choose life so that you and your descendants may live. Verse 20, by loving Adonai your God. Listening, the word there is Shema. Again, the ing form of Shema, which is Shema. There is no ing in Hebrew. It's the same, okay? It's implied. Shema his voice and cling to him. This is what the Rebbetzin was talking about. Like, you know, what do you mean cling? Like, draw him close. How close? Really close. So he can smell you under armpits. So make sure you wear some good deodorant. For he is your life and the length of your days, that you may dwell on the land that Adonai swore to your fathers, to Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob, to give to them. Did you notice that it ended to give to them? They're dead. Do you get it? The reason that he's given the land to the children of Israel is because of Abraham, Isaac, and Israel. Don't ever forget that we as children didn't earn nothing. Right? That it was Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob that did these covenants with him and walked this way. We are his children. Look, on the land that Adonai swore to your fathers, to Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob, to give them. The children, no. As far as Abraham was concerned, he was going to get to the city. As far as Isaac was concerned, he was going to get to the promised land. As far as Jacob was concerned, he was in the promised land. He was going to have it all. What didn't happen, it actually becomes true with their children. Huh? It becomes true with your children. But let your children not forget that it wasn't their merit that did that, but the merit of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. So, I want to close with the following. Are you ready to make the commitment? You got the heart last week. You asked for the heart. Are you ready to make the commitment? Are you ready to put pedal to the metal? Are you ready to go all the way? Are you ready to just, Lord, tell me and I'll do. On the eve of this high holy day. Are you ready? Well, I am ready. And I want to do it publicly. Last week we prayed, Lord, give me a lev tahor. It's in my writing. And he did. Now let us move to the future. And let us ask the Lord to give us the things revealed. So that we can do all the words of his Torah. Father, in Yeshua's name, we pray right now. You want me to tell you that, bow your heads? All right, so here's what I want us to ask. Lord, say Lord. Lord. Give us the things revealed. That belong to us and our children. So that we will do all the words in your Torah. B'Shem Yeshua, amen.